We're going to be reading from Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15 today. So you can turn in your Bibles or the words will be on the screen. And let's go ahead and get started. It says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." So what I want to do this morning is to look at the comparison that Paul makes between what we were like without Christ, the state of our soul, our sin, and compare that to what we're like now, now that we're in Christ, a new creation. So in verse 13, Paul leads with two things. He says that we are dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature. So first, consider the word dead. It's a strong word. You know, Paul doesn't say that we were like struggling to get by or, you know, we were doing okay, but maybe not living up to our full potential or something like that. You know, it says that we were dead in our sins. It's a strong word. Paul, and I think Paul uses the word dead to show the seriousness of our sin. I think the song that we just sang, I think there was a line in there that said, don't take our sin lightly. Sin isn't simply something that we do that prevents us from living God's best. It causes death. We were dead in our sins. The theologian John Stott says, and he talks about how we reinterpret sin as a lapse instead of a rebellion. And that kind of goes along with us wanting to minimize our sin and take it lightly, not take it as serious as we should. But in reality, sin destroys. Let us carefully consider and understand the weight and seriousness of our rebellion and sin. And as a side note, that concept of people being dead in their sins has been convicting to me as I think about evangelizing and the people around me. And do I think of them as just getting by? They seem okay, you know, but I need to take it seriously and I need to have a sense of urgency. If you see someone dead, you do something quickly. You don't put it off till later. So the next thing that Paul says in this verse is that we're in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature. And if you go back just a couple of verses to verse 11, Paul says, "In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ." So when he talks about we were in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, he's not talking about, you know, the Old Testament way of circumcision, that it was a sign to set the people apart, but it is God transforming our hearts, changing our hearts. So prior to Christ, we didn't have a heart that was changed. We still had our cold, dead, calloused heart that couldn't love God, that was an enemy of God. Our hearts had not yet been cut away by Christ to transform us. "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ." There's hope. We were dead, now we're alive. We had a cold, dead, calloused heart, and God made it beat again and began to change it into something new. What greater news has there ever been that what was once dead is now alive? And it's not something that we've done. We didn't make it happen. When you were dead, God made you alive. It's through Christ's work on the cross and his abundant grace and mercy that we can be made alive. And Paul doesn't stop there. He takes it another layer deeper. We were dead. We had uncircumcised hearts that could not follow God and could not love God, but we were also in debt. It says, "He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us." Another translation, the ESV, says, "He canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands." So we owed a tremendous debt, a debt that was growing, that we couldn't pay off. We couldn't even slow down the rate at which it was increasing. We couldn't make the minimum monthly payment on it. There's no way out. No light at the end of the tunnel, no hope. It weighed us down and made us feel hopeless. And it's not just a physical financial debt that, you know, hurts your credit score and makes it hard to buy a house or something. Like, this debt has an expiration date, and this debt was condemning us to hell. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's why we were dead in our sin, is because of the debt. And God is a just God. Sin must be paid for by someone. The end of verse 13 says, he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. That heavy debt that stood against us and was opposed to us with its legal demands, condemning us to an eternity in hell, Christ took it away and nailed it to the cross. That thing that you owe me, he said, that huge debt that you keep adding to, you can't get away from, it's building and building and building, you keep swiping the card and never paying it off, canceled. It's forgiven. Christ forgave us our sins, he took our debt away, set it aside, and nailed it to the cross. And it didn't just dissolve because God said so. Jesus did say it, you no longer have to pay this debt, you're forgiven, but someone had to pay it. And Jesus paid it with his life. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. I think it's good, just as we sang a great song selection, all the songs are so gospel-centered, it's good and healthy to consider and remember the immense weight, the crushing debt that we were responsible for, that Christ paid. Not to feel bad about ourselves or to punish ourselves or feel guilty, but just to properly remember what he did for us and to properly grasp how high and deep and long and high is the love of Christ. We are free. We no longer have the weight of sin and death, but instead we receive God's limitless grace and mercy. Verse 15 says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. See, the devil, the great deceiver, says that we are condemned in our debt. That's one of his weapons that he can use against us. He can, you know, attack us, make us feel bad, and it's partially true. We do have this debt on us, or we did prior to Christ. Jesus took away that weapon from the enemy. Satan can no longer condemn us because we are no longer in debt. Our slate has been wiped clean by the blood of Jesus. The punishment from God has been emptied out on Christ. We are free. In closing, I just want to read a few verses in chapter 3 of Colossians, starting in verse 1. I think we may have it on the screen. Okay. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Father, we want to be so grateful for what you did for us. We didn't deserve it. We deserved the cup of wrath that you took for us. We want to remember our sin, but we also want to rejoice that the sin is gone and that we have your unlimited grace and mercy and favor now on us from Christ. We praise you for this. Just thank you. Help us to be grateful and help us to share the good news with others. In your name that I pray. Amen.